Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status. Big XL. Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ, a.k.a. TF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF, where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable, it's the incredible. Pisa, a.k.a. TF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. Underground, staying down cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
What up, world? It's your boy, Big XL. This is the Riding Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man. Y'all say one time for the good people checking in on Facebook Live, one time for the good people checking in on Vigo. All right, y'all definitely check me out on both those platforms at Riding Dirty Radio. All right, I also got to say one time for the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM, our FM radio home. Be sure to check us out every Thursday night, Friday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I also got to say one time for the good people over at Live 365. Now, let me let you guys know a little bit about Live 365. Last year, we partnered up with Live 365 and we launched our very own internet radio station. That's right. We launched our very own internet radio station. Now, Live 365 is the internet's oldest and longest running streaming platform for internet radio. Now, the way it works is they allow AM radio stations, internet radio stations, small wattage FM radio stations to partner up with them to use their server. That's right, to use their server in order to broadcast over the internet airwaves. Now, the unique and dope part about them, they are media-based tracking, which means all artists played on any Live365 affiliated radio station will receive royalties or points towards royalties for the music play on those affiliated stations. So artists, please, please make sure your music is properly registered, whether it's BMI, ASCAP, or CSAC. That way, if you are played on any affiliate station on Live 365, you will receive those credits towards royalties. All right, now, our station is Ride 95. Ride 95, we are the station of what's next in hip-hop and R&B. The way to access our station is very, very easy. All you got to do is go to live365.com. That's right, go to live365.com. Go to the search engine. Once you're in the search engine, you're going to type in Live365. You're going to go to the search engine. You're going to type in Ride95. That's R-I-D-E, the number 9, the number 5. Again, go to the search engine, type in R-I-D-E, the number 9, the number 5. Click on our station logo. Once you click on the station logo, you will hear music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, there's over 2,000 radio stations on Live365. Now, if you want to check us out via your mobile device, it's also just as easy. All you got to do is download the Live365 app. Again, download the Live365 app, okay? Once you download that app, you're going to, again, click on that station logo, and you're going to hear music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All right. I want to say one time for my girl, Catherine E. Bland. All right. Shout out to you, Catherine. I see you on the check-in. All right. Now, it's time for me to do what I like doing most. Now, for those who don't know Riding Dirty Radio, we are the platform for those artists, those entertainers, those entrepreneurs, those people in the community that are definitely changing the community, changing the world brick by brick, day by day. This is the platform for the movers and shakers, the platform for the people to come tell their story first. That's right. We're the platform for people to come tell their story first. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today is no different than any other day. So let's welcome, again, I repeat, let's welcome to the Riding Dirty platform, Buzz the Navigator. What's going on, my G?
What's up, Dirty? How you been?
Man, maintaining, maintaining. All right, man, look, the first thing I always like to start the show by saying, I am so humbled and I am so honored for you to come on this platform to allow our listeners, our subscribers, the people who just rock with us, our friends, our family, our fans. I am very grateful for you coming on the platform to tell your story.
Well, I'm very blessed for you to even consider me to be on your platform. So it's equal respect both ways. So
okay. All right. Let's get into it, Buzz the Navigator. The first question I got to ask you is, where are you from?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, but I'm on the outskirts. My hometown is called Webster Groves. It's still part of St. Louis. It's just a county part. So I'm from the Midwest.
Okay. All right. Now, what was your introduction to the music business? What made you fall in love with the game?
I must kind of like tell my age right now, but when I first heard Crisscross, it was like, okay, I see another avenue to get out of this poverty situation, not just, you know, sports and stuff like that. So I saw another avenue and I dove in and started trying to write music. I took a creative writing class in high school, all of that. It just, seeing them perform their first video jump, it was like, it just kind of like, the bug bit me. Like, if they can do it, I can do it. I just need to figure out my lane.
Okay. All right. Now, hearing the music, falling in love with the music, that's one thing. But realizing that you have a skill set to do it is another. Now, what were the first steps for you as you began to pursue your career in music?
My first step was actually learning the art form, meaning I started listening, not just listening to artists regularly, I started paying attention to when they hook came in, when they verses started, how they came in, the melodies that they had, their cadences. I started really studying and breaking down songs. Before I started writing, I just started just listening and understanding the 16 bars, the 8 bars. I started really, really digging deep into it before I started putting my pen to paper. Because if I was going to do it, okay, I made sure I was doing it correctly.
Okay. No doubt. Now, you know what? And it's funny because at one point in time, I was managing artists, and I used to manage a lot of young artists. And one of the things I actually had my young artists do was take the song Crisscross and actually learn it. That way I could figure out if the youngsters even had rhythm. So I know you say it might date you a little bit, but you know what? There's still a good measuring stick of Crisscross is very, very impact on the world of hip-hop, especially for younger artists.
I mean, they still are. Because it gives the young artists that when they hear it, it's like, okay, that's what they were doing then. Yes, they weren't trying to be young gangsters. They were kids doing kid music. Even though it was still rap, they were still staying in their age range. Instead of trying to be with the older people.
I agree with you 100%, man. And they was not only allow kids to be in their age bracket, but they were also talented guys, and they had a large amount of showmanship.
Yes, they did.
Okay, now, for you, as you start to learn and study the game, at one point in time, St. Louis had a major stranglehold on hip-hop. What was it like growing up in St. Louis and witnessing artists like Chingy, Huey, Nelly, and the St. Lunatics, and so on and so on? What was it like actually seeing those artists grow, knowing that you were from the area they were from? Did that make you feel like you can also do it as well?
Honestly, I mean, it did. It gave me more of a drive to do it. And the fact that at the time when Nelly them first came out, my ex-wife, her cousin was dating his road manager. So I was kind of in the circle with them. So I've played cards with Nelly and Slow Down and all of them. I've met them personally, but even then I wasn't starstruck, or we didn't talk about music. We just treat each other as average people, as regular people. So for me, it was, okay, I know what you are. I know what your job is. And I'm right behind you. I'm just not close enough yet, but I'm still in the street with you. So for me watching them do it, I supported it no matter what. It was like, they own that. I'm going to keep riding with their music, keep playing their music, because they're my inspiration to, okay, I could be the next one, okay? They had their shine time. Okay, now it could be me. This could be me. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I could be the next one, so I'm not going to stop.
I definitely understand and can dig it. All right, now, that process, what was it like going into the studio for the first time?
It's like walking into a haunted house that you've never done before. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how I was going to, because I never heard myself on the mic, so I didn't know how I was going to sound. Like, I was super, super nervous. Like it was like being a father for the first time. Am I going to do this right? Is it going to come out right? Can I handle this? Like, it was a lot of first time smoking weed, first time drinking, first time having sex, all those firsts just like all rolled into one, like, okay, I said I'm going to do this. I got to do it. Like, I can't fail, but I'm nervous as hell doing it. And luckily for me, my cousin was my first producer, so I was kind of like with family, so it was okay. I was still comfortable. But it was still that I'm scared how I'm going to sound. Literally, that was my first thing. I'm scared how I'm going to sound, because I never heard myself before.
Okay. The name Buzz the Navigator, that's a very unique and interesting name. How did the name come about for you?
It came about in the, like I said, I'm showing my age still, but it came out in the era where everybody had their little cliques growing up and everything like that. And the clique that I rode with my family, my brother was like, he's the creator. And the Navigator just came out of my mouth. It's just like, well, you're the creator of our clique. I'm going to be the Navigator, and I'm going to figure out a way to get us some money. It just came out instantly. It wasn't a thought process. When he said his word, I just rolled right behind it. Now, Buzz is a name I got when I was growing up for my grandma. So I kind of like put them together, and I'm just like, okay, this is going to be a good feeling that you're going to want to follow. Because, you know, everybody smoke weed, so everybody get buzzed. I'm like, I'm going to run with that. And that's pretty much how it is now. I'm a good feeling that you're going to want to follow.
Okay, now, your first introduction to the game, you were actually a part of a group called the Hillside Hustlers. Tell me a little bit about the group.
The group consists of two of my cousins who were living in Oklahoma at the time when they moved back to St. Louis with their mom, with my auntie. And one of the other guys was my little cousin, one of his schoolmates. I was like the last missing piece to the group, I guess. My cousin was already producing for his little brother, and I just happened to stay over there a couple of nights, and they were working on music, and I was still writing. So when he had the music, it just, I was like, okay, let me get this track right here, and I'm going to write this. And I wrote literally my first whole song called The Buzz, and that wound up on our very first cassette. And yes, I'm saying cassette, not CD, cassette. A lot of people don't know what a cassette is, but yes, my first intro to the world was on a cassette. So it was, I was the missing piece of them.
Okay, how did the area receive the group and the music that you guys put out?
They received it as far as the neighborhood. They were liking it. They were shocked that we actually had a product. We weren't just talking about doing music or, you know, just on the block rapping. No, we actually put together a product. We went to a distribution company in St. Louis, had them printed up. We had a cover made for it, all of this. We had a barcode. So we were serious about it, and the neighborhood was kind of like overwhelmed. They didn't know how to take it. Some people bought it. Some people didn't want to deal with it. But I think we sparked a lot of people in the neighborhood that were trying to get into it. They just didn't have the hustle that we had to keep it going. So some were happy, some were envious of it. So it was like mixed emotions.
All right, now, how many projects did you guys release before you guys separated? Are you guys still together?
No, we're still family. They're my blood cousins. We're still family, but we released two projects together. And then I dropped my first solo album. And then they dropped the third project on their own. The irony of that is our second project came out like probably a year or maybe a couple months before Nelly dropped Country Grammar. Because I remember this vividly. I went to his romance house to go play. I went out there with my wife. We went out there to play cards because he was doing a barbecue. And it was a shock to me too because, you know, I gave him my CD just to see what would happen with it. So I walked in the house, we hanging out, and I look on top of his record player, and our CD was just like in the mix of with Outkast, Jay-Z. He was just in the mix of the CDs. Like, my CD is in the mix of rotation. Y'all, you going to play this sometime today. So that was like, okay, gosh, he supports a little bit of what I'm doing. He might not like it all, but he supports me because this is in rotation. He plans on spending something off his album.
No doubt, man. That's super, super dope. Now, going solo, how hard was that for you as an artist? Was it easier to be able to just do your own thing and create from your own personal standpoint, or was it harder having to come up with songs on your own?
It was harder because my cousins decided that they're going to quit rapping. They're going to give all this up. And I'm like, how are we going to quit when we just put out two CDs? My solo's out right now. How are we going to give up when we just starting to get our wheels going? The fact that I moved to North St. Louis and they were still in Webster, it was kind of like, okay, we're not together. We can't get together as much as we used to, but y'all quitting, I don't see quitting right now. Like, I'm in a circle of the majors right now. Like, I'm in a circle with Nelly right now. I can't quit. I'm making connections. If I quit, that's the end of it, period. So I went and bought a Fruity Loops program, and I had to learn how to make music for myself. I mean, like, I don't know how to make some beats on my own. Had to start writing. Now I'm like, hey, I got the music. I can make. I bought a CD burner. Okay, now I need to find clubs. I need to find. I started to go on a scavenger hunt to find open mics, and basically reintroduce myself to the city on a whole different level. Like, nobody knew who I was. I went to clubs and I seen the promoters that had their groups with them, other people had groups with them, and I'm here by myself. I paid to get in, don't nobody know who I am, so I got to work harder to get known when y'all got a whole crew with y'all. Half the club in here, y'all fan base. So it was hella hard for me. But with it being that much tension against me or negative energy against me for me to do a good show, I make sure that, okay, if I'm going to perform, I'm going to be the first one. I'm going to open every show up because y'all don't know me, so I'm going to set the stage for every group in here. So I started becoming the opening act. I started putting my name first on the list. I don't care. I'm first. I'm going first. And that became my motivation. Basically,
man, you know what's
you
funny?
Ain't as
you're
good
right.
As
you're... I'm sorry, but you're right, because a lot of times in doing shows, no one wants to go first. But being willing to step out there and set the tone, set the stage, man, that's very, very impactful. A lot of people don't want to go first because they feel like, man, they're going to forget whoever goes first. But it's all about a mind state, because you can make it a hard act to follow.
And that literally was my motivation, because I understood that when you go to a show, you will remember the opening act and you remember the headliner. Everybody in the middle, yeah, okay, whatever. But that person that started the show off, that sets the tone for the rest of the night. So if I can get in here and rock this crowd and turn their head like they wasn't expecting to hear all this, I'm a winner regardless. Because they're going to remember, well, that guy that opened the show, well, man, he was great. I don't know but the dude to open it up, man, I got to find him. So I made it my goal I set the standard. I set the bar for this show tonight. If you ain't as good as me and I'm by myself, it's a wrap for your group. I don't care if it's five of you, two of you, whatever. If you ain't as good, if your stage presence, your song, your lyrics, none of this is as good as mine, you lose.
Man, that is a dope, hungry mentality to have. Like, for real, being able to set the stage, do your thing.
You got to remember, when Hammer came out, as big as he is, he started out as an opening act. And because he was so good, they had to make him a headliner. Because he rocked the crowd, and nobody wanted to follow that. That's how I was.
Yeah, you're right. No one wanted to follow Hammer because he was killing people. He was killing people. And you're right. You know what? I remember my grandfather, when I was a kid, when he was giving me the sex talk, he told me, boy, the chances in life is you only really remember your first and your last. Everybody else in between don't even really matter. And that's a great, 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 great way to process it when it comes to your music career. Now, let's talk about Buzz the Navigator as an artist. Like, how do you want fans to react to your music? What type of artist do you want to be remembered as?
I want to be remembered as an artist that tests the limit, an artist that embraces his age. Because I know, because music grows, you should grow with your music. That is true. And a lot of artists, you know, okay, I'm a gangster rapper. That's all I can do. I embrace that I'm a grown man. So as I grew up, my music grew up with me. So at this point in my career, yes, I'm a grown man, so I'm going to show my emotion. I'm going to show my affection. I'm going to show my anger. But I also like to kick it and have a good time. I'm not going to show all the drama no more because I survived all of the drama in St. Louis. So I'm in a celebratory mind state right now. I'm about my family. I'm about, you know, having a legacy for my kids to live off of. So I want to be that artist. I want to be known as that artist that embraced his reality, not somebody else's reality. No, I grew up. Most artists don't want to grow up. I grew up as what led to this interview, the song The Weeknd and my last album. I'm very emotional on the album. I have a song that I apologize to my kids for me not being around because me and their mama having an issue. So,
okay.
I guess
man, that is...
You...
No, that is dope, man. Really touching on those grown man subject matters, apologizing to your kids, because as men, we're not always there 100% of the time, because sometimes we're too busy pursuing a career, pursuing a dream, and, you know, being able to look back and say, hey, kids, I'm sorry, and, you know, being able to be that vulnerable on a record is dope, man. It's really, really dope. Let's talk about Honor Class Music.
Honor Class Music, that's my record label. And that came about being, okay, the backstory behind Honors Class and First Class. I use those a whole lot in a lot of my music. Because growing up as growing up as a young black kid in a predominantly white neighborhood, it was kind of hard to be on the honor roll. Everybody know what honor roll is when you're in school. You know, the kids that get all A's, all B's, those are the honor roll kids. And they get praises, get trophies, whatever. Not being one of those kids, I didn't believe that my grades should dictate how my life would be. Okay, this is honor roll to y'all. Okay, let me show you what honor roll means to the inner city kid, the kid that doesn't have everything, but still has a good mentality that his life is a good life regardless. Because I grew up with a single mother. I got three brothers and three sisters. But I still had a great Christmas, Thanksgiving. I had great holidays. So to me, honor roll is a mentality lifestyle. It's not about your grades, nothing like that. Just same thing as I tell people, I miss the first class because I have a first class mentality. No matter what I do, I'm going to do it to the best. No matter what car I drive, it's luxury to me. It's not a Benz or a Bentley, but it's my car. It's clean. It rides good. That's luxury. That's first class to me. My house, it might not be a mansion, but it's clean. It's a roof over my head. All my bills are paid. I'm living first class. So honest class music just personifies that whole mentality of no matter how you live, how your life is, live it to the best of your ability, to your liking. Don't try to compete with the Joneses and all them. No. Your life is honor roll because it's your life. You live it the way you want to live it. Be happy with it.
No doubt. Definitely no doubt. All right, man. I see you had a shirt campaign at one point in time. Do you still push the merchandise for honor class music?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm actually in networks with the guy who shot my last two videos. Me and him are going to get together in a couple of weeks, and we're going to shoot an actual promo commercial for my T-shirt. Well, my clothing line, it's more than T-shirts I have. Stretch pants, tank tops, masks, water bottles, coffee mugs, iPhone cases, as well as I have a shoe line as well. I have tennis shoes for men and women, dress shoes for men, high heels, flats for women. I have a lot of merchandise that I'm going to put out on display for everybody.
All right, man. I definitely got to get with you. I want one of those shirts. Those shirts are hard.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Now, before we leave up out of here, man, let's talk about this record, The Weeknd. Who produced it? What was the subject matter? Tell us everything we need to know about it.
All right. With The Weeknd is technically a part two song because with me being an essential worker, like when the whole pandemic hit, I was working at the gas station. So basically, I never stopped working through the whole pandemic. So I wrote a song called Thank You. I wrote another version of my song, Thank You, to tell all the essential workers, thank you for doing what you do, being out here in all this crazy bullshit. So I wrote a song for them to just celebrate the essential workers because I felt that they weren't getting the credit that they deserved. So after that, I started listening to a couple music instrumentals on YouTube, and I found one that was called Friday Night. And I'm like, we've been through all this. Okay, it's time for a celebration. So I started writing to it, and The Weeknd came out just how, like I said, it's a part two to the essential workers. Basically, The Weeknd song is for 9-to-5 people that work. That's been working. You get off Friday, you got paid, you want to go kick it. So I wrote my version of how it will be. When you get off at 5 o'clock, I'm going to go. I hit the liquor store real quick. I'm going to go kick it at the club. Tomorrow, I got to do some things on Saturday. Sunday, I'm just going to hang out with my family. I just gave people Friday, Saturday, and Sunday my experience or how I would like to do on the weekend. And the video came out to personify that as well. So basically, The Weeknd is a celebration song for all the bullshit going on. Because now things are opening up more. People can go hang out more. Cool. Friday night coming out. Go. It's The Weeknd. Let's go kick it. The guy that produced it, his name is Storm. And I consider him to be my Dr. Dre, my Manny Fresh, my Swiss Beats, my Scotch Storch. Because if I give him a concept or I send him some music I like, he'll recreate it or cater something directly to me. So that song, The Weeknd, was personally made for me, my vibe. And this was a little bit of DJ Quick and Tony influence to this one.
Okay. No doubt. Now, before I have you introduce the record to the world, I want you to tell the people how to find you when it comes to social media.
Okay.
And how
to find me on social
they,
media.
How they, hold on. And how to find you on social media, how they can check their video out, and how they can check their record out. All those places.
All right. To find me on social media, since you brought the clothing line, catch me on Facebook at Christopher Lawrence, because that's my clothing line. Go to Facebook, catch me on Christopher Lawrence. You'll see all the Facebook, all the videos, the commercial coming up, all the shoe promos, all of that. For my music, you can catch me on YouTube at Buzz the Navigator. You can catch me on Spotify, Buzz the Navigator, SoundCloud, Buzz the Navigator. If you're on Twitter, same thing. If you're on LinkedIn, I'm on that too, Buzz the Navigator. It's all out there. I'm on a bunch of social medias. If I ain't on them yet, I will be soon. So, yeah. Just get on your...
All right.
Just hit me up on Google, and everything should pop up.
All right. My G, again, thank you for coming on the show. I want you to do me one big favor and introduce this record to the world.
All right. This is Buzz the Navigator, Mr. First Class, Honor Roll Status Music. For those that don't know, I know today Thursday. Put this on your playlist for tomorrow morning when you get out at 5 o'clock. This is The Weeknd, produced by my boy Storm. Check it out. Have fun. Look at the video. Have a ball with it. It's The Weeknd, baby. Let's do it. This is how we parlay.
Appreciate it, my G.
Oh, much love.
This one's dedicated to those hard-working people. You know, they work 9 to 5. Can't wait till Friday come around. This what we do.
If I could, I could punch the clock. See it's payday, I gotta make a stop. After L.I.Q. so I can grab a drink. I got direct deposit, so it's money in the bank. So it's straight to the crib and get ready for the night. Who knows, I might meet my next ex-wife. After I shave, let me hop in the shower. Check the clock, I'll leave in about an hour. Don't wanna get there early, just early enough. First press last, push my lawn button up. Got the spaces on my feet where they get a load of me. They was young and bougetto, now they grown and get all fancy. Out the door and I pop the lock. Now I'm in the wind to my favorite hood spot. On the outside it don't look like much, but on the inside grown folks turning up.
It's how we party.
Another night in St. Louis, thank God I survived. I made it home safe, blessed to see another day. Plus I got something hot coming through about 8. Let me get going, gotta make a few runs. It's a hot Sunday, I'm trying to have some fun. Business first and then I party later. Rule number one for Buzz the Navigator. Secure the bag and then the cruising start. I sail through the hood, post up at the park. I blow a few trees while I'm bumping these beats. And spit a little game to the young BG. And take a few flips with my neighborhood peeps. It feels damn good to hear them say they proud of me. Ain't no place like home, I love to reminisce. Cause when you on tour, it's the little things you miss.
That's how we party.
Cause I'm blessed to wake up, I ain't hearing none of that. Let's spread it on my barbecue with family and friends. Post on Facebook, let's get it in. The BYOB and it starts about 3. I'm kinda curious on who I might see. And these are the nephews, cause we're grown up. Friends with new ways for us to get up. Got the table set for us, face the dominoes. Mortal Kombat playing on the PS4. Ain't a family function, I can let you slide. Even Tyler Perry can't agree with that line. Ain't no drama, this a celebration. Skate king of coast like my next destination. Grown folks grooving, white roller skates. And we do it all again in 5 more days.
That's how we